This is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty. The U.S. announced tough new sanctions on Russia after it determined Moscow was involved in the poisoning of a former Russian spy and his daughter in Britain last March. Britain said the nerve agent Novichok was used against Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia in the town of Salisbury. Both have since recovered. Security analyst Robert Manning, senior fellow with the Atlantic Council, said the sanctions are potentially serious.
It involves technology exports. It involves both international institution lending and lending from U.S. banks. There are some potential waivers on some of the technology exports, for example, spare parts for the space station, which we still have with Russia. It's pretty extensive, and it's coming at a time when the ruble has hit new lows. The sanctions have driven down their currency.
At the same time, Senator Rand Paul is in Moscow and delivered a letter from President Donald Trump to his Russian counterpart, Vladimir Putin. The contents are not known, but Paul tweeted later it emphasized the importance of engagement in areas such as countering terrorism, legislative dialogue, and cultural exchanges. Zimbabwe's defeated opposition Wednesday vowed to take last month's disputed election result to court. Tabani Mpofu is a lawyer for the head of the Movement for Democratic Change, Nelson Chamisa.
The results announced, the declaration made by ZEC, is going to be challenged. The relevant challenge has already been prepared, and it is here.
President Emmerson Mnangagwa, head of the ruling ZANU-PF party, was declared winner on Friday of the July 30 ballot. The outcome sparked violent protests in the capital, Harare, leaving at least six dead. Meanwhile, former finance minister and opposition leader Tendai Biti has been detained after being denied asylum in Zambia. At least five Kenyan soldiers were killed along the country's north coast in an attack claimed by the Somali insurgent group Al-Shabaab. This is VOA News. Dozens of rockets were fired into Israel from Gaza Wednesday. Vinny Ofuri sought protection in a shelter.
I came here because a missile fell in the middle of apartments and houses, and we have injured people, and we have very frightened children and families, and it's a very difficult situation for us.
The Israeli Air Force responded with airstrikes. At least two Israelis were wounded. One Hamas militant, along with a mother and an 18-month-old child, were killed in Gaza. The border region has been tense since mass Palestinian protests began in late March. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau Wednesday said he's seeking to smooth over a diplomatic dispute with Saudi Arabia.
We continue to engage diplomatically and politically with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. We have respect for their importance in the world and recognize that they have made progress on a number of important issues, but we will at the same time continue to speak clearly and firmly on issues of human rights.
The dispute arose last week following Canada's criticism of the Saudi jailing of women's rights campaigners. Riyadh responded, expelling the Canadian ambassador and halting new trade and investment with Ottawa. The Saudi authorities Wednesday have told hundreds of doctor trainees to leave Canada. Congolese health officials and staff from the World Health Organization have begun vaccinating health workers in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo amid a new outbreak of the deadly Ebola virus. Farhan Haq is a UN spokesman.
WHO has 30 staff on the ground, and a mobile lab has been deployed as of the 2nd of August. Contact tracing has started, and so far over 900 contacts have been registered in the town of Mangina that was the epicenter of this outbreak, some 30 kilometers from Beni. A WHO vaccination team will also be deployed soon.
At least 43 people are believed to have been infected in North Kivu and Ituri provinces, including 36 who have died. Venezuela has confirmed that at least one lawmaker has been arrested, another being sought in the investigation of Saturday's mysterious airborne explosions that President Nicolas Maduro said was an assassination attempt. Juan Requesens was arrested late Tuesday. An arrest warrant has been issued for opposition leader Julio Borges, who is now in Colombia. A military ID tag handed over by North Korea with the remains of 55 humans is determined to have belonged to Master Sergeant Charles McDaniel, an Army medic killed in the Korean War. His son Charles Wednesday, who has little memory of his father, is grateful.
And we're really, in one small sense, the most fortunate because we're the only ones that have a name now. None of the remains, we don't know that they're my father's, but at least we have this.
However, it's no assurance McDaniel's remains are among the 55 sets returned as part of an agreement reached in Singapore between North Korea's leader and President Donald Trump. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Barty in Washington. Today is Thursday, August 9th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. DRC President Joseph Kabila will not stand in the December election, and his party has chosen his successor.
Mr. Shadari is a former governor of Kindu, a former deputy, and the current permanent secretary of PPRD. That's a presidential party.
Andre Alain Atunde is the spokesman for President Kabila's ruling PPRD coalition. Meanwhile, the opposition says it looks forward to a free, fair, and credible election in the DRC. Former Ivory Coast President Laurent Gbagbo's son is confident his father will be acquitted. And where is Zimbabwe opposition figure Tendai Biti?
Is within Zambian territory, on the side of the Zambian border, in safe custody, because the circumstances under which he's been pursued are not well known.
Amos Chanda is the spokesman for Zambian President Edgar Lungu, and the fruit of the African baobab tree grows global appeal. Those stories plus our listener of the day are coming up on Daybreak Africa. President Joseph Kabila of the Democratic Republic of Congo has decided not to seek a third term in the coming December 23rd election. Kabila has been in power since 2001, and the possibility that he could run again in violation of the Constitution sparked violence. Yesterday, Wednesday, the ruling People's Party for Reconstruction and Democracy, PPRD, coalition chose Emmanuel Ramazani Shadari as their candidate. Andre Alain Atunde is the spokesman for President Kabila's ruling PPRD coalition. He says Shadari was one of four names submitted to President Kabila for his possible successor, and Mr. Kabila chose Shadari to enable Mr. Kabila to continue to have influence should the PPRD win the December election.
Mr. Shadari is a former governor of Kindu, a former deputy, and the current permanent secretary of PPRD. That's a presidential party.
How did the party come to choose Mr. Shadari? I mean, I know people were thinking that President Kabila would run. How did you come to select him?
No, I think Mr. Kabila's logic with himself. He thought from 15 that he will not run. He will respect the constitution and organized his political coalition for running the presidential and winning all the elections. Before that, he made a lot of contact with his political partners and asked them to propose him four names of personality able to run for majority coalition. After getting all the names, he chose one of them, Mr. Shadari. There was no primary election. Nobody was candidate to succeed to Mr. Kabila, but Mr. Kabila asked the members of his coalition to propose four names, and between them, he chose Mr. Shadari.
People think that Mr. Shadari was handpicked by President Kabila, meaning that Mr. Shadari is put there to be like Kabila, to protect Kabila.
No. You know, this is a political game. Mr. Kabila created two coalitions, the presidential majority and the Common Front for Congo, in order to ensure that he will play a major role after election if the members of his coalition win. I think this is normal for any political leader.
There are some European Union sanctions on Mr. Shadari for alleged human rights abuses. Does that concern you, the coalition?
Personally, I don't think that Mr. Shadari is involved with human abuse. He gets sanctioned only because he was in charge of Ministry of Interior. So, because he was in duty, there is no proof. There's no evidence that Mr. Shadari was involved. This is a political decision to try to influence the political leadership of President Kabila.
Why is it that the government or maybe Mr. Kabila did not allow Mr. Katumbi to come back to the country because people think that your party is afraid of Mr. Katumbi.
Not at all. Not at all. Mr. Katumbi has problems with immigration and the judiciary system. It doesn't depend on us. Majority coalition is private coalition. So we have no power to influence or to take measures against Mr. Katumbi.
Andre Alain Atunde is the spokesman for DRC President Joseph Kabila's PPRD ruling coalition. He was speaking with me from the capital, Kinshasa. A member of the opposition coalition, known as the Rassemblement in the Democratic Republic of Congo, is crediting the group's sustained pressure and that of the international community for President Joseph Kabila's decision not to seek a third term. Now, Martin Fayulu of the Opposition Dynamic Coalition says the opposition looks forward to a free, fair, and credible election in December. He says there is no way that President Kabila could have run for a third term because it would have been in violation of the Constitution.
Mr. Kabila breached the Constitution. He couldn't organize the election in 2016. And now the pressure of the Congolese people and the pressure of the international community have pushed him not to contest again because he has tried many times to see how he can weak the Congolese so he can run. But for me, I think he made a good idea not to provoke the Congolese people.
What does that mean for you, the opposition? Does that make it easier now for you to contest and probably take over the leadership?
No, for us, we made it clear. Mr. Kabila cannot contest. If Mr. Kabila put himself in the way that he has to be a candidate, we said there will not be election in this country. We gave condition, and we continue to say that we want fair and credible election without voting machine, without the fake electoral register. That's what we continue to say. And now, I think is there. Mr. Kabila has made the choice up to him and the team. For us, we'll continue our battle to win the election and run this country.
The criticism of the opposition, Mr. Fayulu, is that you are so divided that you make it possible for the ruling coalition to probably win in December.
Mr. Kabila, his party or his coalition is also divided. They have many candidates on their side. But the problem for us is not we are not divided. You know that the people here, they continue to divide and rule. The opposition, we have agreed that the first thing we candidate and the second is to see all of us to meet and discuss about the story. Candidates. I think we will reach that objective because the people of Congo want us to have only one candidate. Now, up to us to put in place the defined criteria and to comply with the rule, we'll be able to make a choice.
Martin Fayulu is a member of the opposition coalition known as the Rassemblement in the Democratic Republic of Congo. He was speaking with me from the capital, Kinshasa. You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Thursday, August 9th. Daybreak Africa time, it's 14 minutes past the hour. The Zambian government says Zimbabwe opposition official Tendai Biti is in the custody of Zambian immigration authorities. Amos Chanda, spokesman for Zambian President Edgar Lungu, says Zambia is evaluating the circumstances under which Mr. Biti entered Zambian territory. Reports earlier said Biti crossed into Zambia seeking asylum after Zimbabwe authorities charged him with inciting post-election violence. Chanda says Zambian authorities have yet to receive asylum requests from Mr. Biti. But he said if it is true that Biti is wanted for inciting violence, then Zambian authorities would want guarantee from the Zimbabwe government that Biti will be given a fair treatment before an impartial court of law.
Mr. Tendai Biti was traveling from Harare into Zambia. Then at the border, as you know, there is a zone called No Man's Land. in between the no man's land onto the Zambian border, the Zimbabwean authorities were pursuing him. So as he was being pursued, when he was already on the side of the Zambian border of the no man's land zone, he became subject to Zambian law for whatever happened there. So the Zambian government, as a responsible democratic government, will have to protect every citizen that is presumed to be on its soil. And therefore, he was taken into self-custody of the Zambian immigration services. So as he was going through those formalities, the Zambian authorities were trying to establish the circumstances under which Mr. Beatty was trying to enter Zambia. As you know, he requires no visa to enter the country, just like any Zambian citizen requires no visa to enter Zimbabwe.
But Amos, let me stop you. Did Mr. Beatty apply for asylum?
He has not applied for asylum yet, but his team suggested that he could pursue asylum. But there are no formal papers, which is why Minister Malanje, Foreign Affairs, did allude to that, because those reports were given by people in his team that he was traveling to Zambia for purposes of seeking asylum and for onward movement to a third country. So there are no formal applications for asylum.
But Amos, I'm assuming that Mr. Beatty was not armed when he entered your country.
No.
So what circumstances would have warranted your government to turn him over?
He has not been turned over, as I'm telling you. He's within Zambian territory, on the side of the Zambian border, in safe custody, because the circumstances under which he's been pursued are not well known. So the Zambian authorities have to establish whether those pursuing him are Zimbabwean authorities, are a militia, or are a group of people who are not defined. It is a responsibility of the Zambian security services to act swiftly, especially if it's the Zambian border. As we now understand, the Zimbabwean authorities are looking for Mr. Tendai Beatty to answer to charges of public disorder and something of that sort, inciting violence. If indeed that is a charge for which he's been looked for, the Zambian authorities will require and secure guarantees that he will face a fair justice. He will be tried before a fair tribunal in a court of justice, and he will not be subjected to any inhuman treatment. If those guarantees are given, a consideration might be given to turn him over. As I'm speaking to you, he's not.
The other one is Katumbe of the Democratic Republic of Congo. A few days ago, yes, we learned that your government prevented him from crossing over to the DRC, where he was supposed to go to register for the December election.
He was prevented from entering his own country by Congolese authorities. What happened was he turned up at the Zambian border. Therefore, he was on Zambian territory trying to cross into Congolese territory. And we were informed by Congolese authorities that we should not process his immigration documents because he was not welcome in Congo, which is his own country. This information was communicated to our ambassador in Kinshasa that we must escort him away from the Zambian border and possibly from any Zambian bordering town that borders Congolese. We have no interest in preventing Mr. Moise Katumbi from filing his candidature for president. In any case, Zambia has called for an all-inclusive fair electoral process in the DRC so that the possibility of a fair and credible electoral outcome is guaranteed when all presidential candidates are allowed to participate freely. It is preposterous and absurd for anyone to suggest that Zambia would be preventing any presidential candidate from filing for president in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Amos Chanda is spokesman for Zambian President Edgar Lungu. He was speaking with me from the capital, Lusaka. Reacting to the news that Tendai Beatty has sought asylum in Zambia, ZANU-PF activist Gazira Chirumazu says BT has no basis for seeking asylum in another country and should have never left Zimbabwe if he has done nothing wrong. Chirumazu says BT should return to Zimbabwe and face the law.
As a human being, he has got all the rights in this world enshrined in the African Union, you know, and all the charters that Zimbabwe, you know, is ascribed to. So if he feels that his life is being threatened, I think he has all the right to be wherever he could be in safe hands.
You know, after 38 years of independence, one would not expect Zimbabwean citizens to be seeking political asylum. In this respect, I'm talking about Tendai Biti. So as far as you're concerned, do you think something has gone wrong?
It is not okay, and there is nothing that our brother Tendai Biti is running away from. The courts are there. If he knows that he has done nothing, complete nothing, he has to come and face the law. And I don't want to believe that the courts will simply, you know, give a verdict that doesn't make sense. There is no need for a Zimbabwe to seek political asylum. No need at all. At the end of the day, if you look at it, this is just, you know, a way of trying to hoodwink the entire world that there is no peace prevailing in Zimbabwe.
Gazira Chirumazu is a ZANU-PF activist. He spoke from Zimbabwe's capital, Harare, with reporter Gibbs Dube of Views Zimbabwe Service. A study commissioned by the Ugandan Bureau of Standards says more than 54% of goods sold on the Ugandan market are of substandard quality. The same study conducted in 2017 says that over 80% of consumers in Uganda perceive most products that they buy to be substandard. Mugumi Davis Brackeridge reports from Kampala, Uganda.
Kampala resident Brenda Amito says she was surprised when her phone stopped working just a few days after she had bought it.
I thought I could use it like for 3 years, but I took it home. Then I used it like for 2 days. It was fake. I took it to a mechanic. A mechanic told me it was a fake phone. I wanted to return it, but when I went back where I bought it, they told me they can't return it back because I've already used it. So I had nothing to do.
She says she's now much more careful while buying products from the market. Besides looking at labels, she must get a warranty for some reasonable time. Businessman Eddie Jingo says he got bruises on his hands after using a particular brand of detergent soap. He also says the detergent didn't perform the job it was intended to do.
I bought detergent in powder form. At first, it is working. If you are soaking clothes, you can make washing easy. But this time, you can wash, not getting clean.
Ben Manyindo, the executive director of Uganda National Bureau of Standards, or UNBS, says, unfortunately, such cases are all too common.
Our traders, from our figures, go to China. China, I think, is number one. India is number two. And Dubai, or United Arab Emirates, is number three. As far as imported products are concerned, especially the consumer products, when they go there, they actually order according to their money, to the size of their pockets. They order products that fit their money, and they try to bring that one here. Unfortunately, those are largely substandard goods.
These products include electronics, cosmetics, steel products, iron sheets, foodstuffs, second-hand tires, beers, paints, and cereals. David Livingstone Eberu, who also works at UNBS, says some locally made products are substandard and can be dangerous for consumption.
Most of our local products are in agro-processing, so it goes without saying, juices, food, flour, and so on. So it's basically all sectors, but you know that most of our small people are either in food processing or juice packaging and so on.
This year, the UNBS seized 413 metric tons of goods worth 3.5 billion Uganda shillings, or about $1 million. It said these goods could have posed significant risk to the health and safety of consumers. A similar study released in 2013 revealed that 73% of products on the market were substandard. Eberu says UNBS is doing all it can to ensure that quality products are available on the market. He says they're introducing a mandatory Use Distinctive Mark Regulation 2018 that will require certification from the Bureau. This stamp will only be issued after the Bureau has tested the quality of a product before it is sent to the market.
We are now want to make these standards compulsory, especially on the high-risk areas, which we have already classified, things like food, things like cosmetics and chemicals and engineering products. So we want first give them what we call a grace period by telling them that, please, if you are involved in producing anything for the market, please come and register with us.
Both Manyindo and Eberu say they are conducting awareness campaigns in the media, informing people to be cautious when buying products from the market. UNBS is also working with Uganda's tax body, Uganda Revenue Authority, to control the quality of imports. For VOA News, I am Mugume Davis Ruakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
The son of former Ivory Coast President Laurent Gbagbo says he's confident his father will be acquitted. Gbagbo Sr. is on trial in The Hague for crimes against humanity. Michel Gbagbo says he believes his father is innocent. Also this week, President Alassane Ouattara pardoned 800 people, including former First Lady Simone Gbagbo. Michel Gbagbo, who is not the son of the former First Lady, says the pardons are a positive step towards reconciliation in Ivory Coast.
As my situation, I'm very happy. I'm very glad. It's a good news for me, for my family, you know, and it's a very good thing for the country, Ivory Coast, and for the reconciliation in this country.
I know your father is at the International Criminal Court in The Hague. Yes. What would you like to see happen in his case?
I think he will be free in 2 weeks.
Your father, Mr. Gbagbo, is in The Hague because people said that he committed war crimes. What do you know about your father?
I know that he will be declared innocent and waiting for him in the country.
Now, have you been able to talk to your father?
Not directly.
But you have talked to him through other people?
Yes, through other people.
Now, Michelle, let me ask you, how old are you?
48.
Do you have political interest? Do you want to run for an office?
I don't want to be a president. I think one president in a family is enough for a country.
But would you like to run for a political office besides being president, like being a senator or being a member of the House of Representatives?
Maybe member of parliament or something like that, but nothing more.
Have you tried to run for member of parliament or you will be trying?
I will try later when the situation will be clear.
So you think the release of Mrs. Gbagbo is good for reconciliation?
Yes, exactly. I think it's very correct and important for this country. And I think he's a person we need in Ivory Coast for the reconciliation and the peace.
Michel Gbagbo is the son of former Ivory Coast President Laurent Gbagbo. He was speaking with me from the capital, Abidjan. The baobab tree dots the dry African savanna from Senegal to Madagascar. It yields the fruit that's being described as a superfood popular in the United States and Europe. With an increasing global appeal, local farmers say business is booming, but some worry that worldwide sales of the crop are not sustainable.
This farmer has been climbing up baobab trees in Senegal to collect their fruit since he was 15 years old. He uses a pole to knock the fruit from the outer branches of Africa's most iconic tree. Inside the green shell is a citrusy fruit rich in vitamin C, calcium, and magnesium. It's become a popular superfood in the United States and Europe. The growing market helped farmers band together, and business has never been better. Before, with dealers, selling was more difficult. They would come and impose their own prices. Before, we would sell a bag at a low price. But today, we earn more. A lot more. Through a cooperative with buyers in Australia and Canada, farmers earn about $18 per sack, more than double what local middlemen offered a few years ago. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
Briefly, before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. President Joseph Kabila of the Democratic Republic of Congo has decided not to seek a third term in the coming December 23rd election. Kabila has been in power since 2001. That's it for this Thursday, August 9th edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, producer Nicole Beckford, reporters Peter Clotty and Ricky Stryak, as well as post editor Samson O'Malley, along with our engineer Greg Burns, I am James Bott in Washington wishing you a very good day.
Border Crossings knows you want the hottest music, and we're here to give it to you.
Give me something nice and shiny.
Join host Larry London at 1500 Universal every weekday in August for your chance to win a copy of the new Now That's What I Call Music Volume 67 CD.
Music to my ears.
Featuring the biggest hits from Maroon 5. Selena Gomez. I'd go back to you. Post Malone, Cardi B, and more. This is your all-access pass to the biggest songs of the summer.
Hey, 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 special delivery.
Don't miss out on your chance to snag a free copy of Now 67 with different ways to win every weekday in August.
I'm the girl who's going to win the special prize at the end.
Well, you do seem confident, and confidence is key.
Only on Border Crossings.